You're about to enter into a new world of knowledge, curiosities, and high strangeness. This is a podcast of Straight Up Strange Productions.
Hello, and welcome to episode 67 of Spellcast. This is Courtney, and I'm going to be by myself again this week. As all of you that have followed us on social media know, it's been a little rough the end of October. We did have wonderful plans and intentions to have a really fun season of The Witch, and while we did get some of those episodes out, things didn't really go as planned towards the end of the month. Unfortunately, our dog Lucky passed away. And it's been hard. She was 13 and she had kidney disease, so it was her time. But it really doesn't make things much easier. And she really felt like a soulmate. So we're getting through it, but I explained that that's why we didn't have an episode last week. We were working on that because Friday is the day that we unfortunately had to put her to sleep. So it was a little much for us to put out an episode. So thank you everyone for understanding. And this week we had intended to have a recording from SpellCon. Now, funny story there, you decide if this is better or worse isn't a good word, but you know, if it's funny, funny to me, because it seems as though one of the ghosts at Katie's of Smithtown had their fun with us. Now, our audio person that was helping us with SpellCon recorded all the performances. We went first, but it seems our recording didn't work. Now, he was recording actively, and he had a blank USB drive that it was going on to, but it seems as though we were being messed with, and for some reason, it just didn't take. Now, this has happened before. Brian, the owner of the bar, told me that News 12, a local news channel, had done a piece on his bar once, and it was a 3-hour-long story, and it was wonderful with interviews and all these things, and they had a similar problem. Everything got erased, and even Sony couldn't find it, which has never happened before. So, you know what? That's our little fun and our story from Katie's. Very fun night, SpellCon overall. And thank you again, everyone that was part of it and everyone that came. If you were too far, that's okay. You were there in spirit. No pun intended. But we are hoping to move around different places with this show. Hey, if we become a traveling show, that's fine by us. Make it worth our while and we might see you in your town. So it was a good time, and despite the recording not taking and now we don't have anything, I am recording this episode for you. So Andrielle is in the city, New York City, working on an off-Broadway show right now. So that's wonderful for him. I believe I mentioned that last time, but just to catch anybody up. So it's great. I'm so happy for him. And hey, this might become a touring show, and then you guys can come see it. So it'd be really cool. And this week I decided to at least stick with the season of The Witch. I did have this prepared, and go a little more local with the history of witchcraft on Long Island. So that's a close to home one. I believe I did cover this story quickly last year, but I decided to kind of go more in depth with it. I found a really great article on newsday.com. So again, that's our local news channel and newspaper. And after reading the story, I was like, well, I just have to share it with everybody. So I hope you'll find this fun and it'll be just me and you guys. All right. So the story we're going to be talking about happened in East Hampton, which is actually maybe about 30 minutes from me, east of Long Island. So that's pretty cool. Really close history. And we didn't have many witch trials, and New York as a whole, I believe, besides this one, only had one other like official one. I guess it just didn't spread to us as rapidly as some other parts of the country. And it's very interesting because East Hampton is way out on the tip of Long Island. And if you know what we look like and how we come off of New York, and if you go north, you hit Connecticut. Well, people used to come from Connecticut on boats and come out east where we are. In fact, there is the Ketchum Inn about 10 minutes away from me, and James Madison and Thomas Jefferson had stopped there on their tours through Long Island in the 1700s. So there's a lot of rich history here on Long Island, and we have a witchcraft and witch history story. So I had to cover it. And this is all about Goody Garlic. Elizabeth Gardner Howell, and for anyone from Long Island or New York, you probably know the Gardners. They're a really big famous family around here, and this is the daughter of the family, the original family that came over, and she's actually the first child to ever be born in New York State. Now, Elizabeth Gardner Howell, when she was married, she accused Goody Garlic of being a witch and bewitching her. Now, Goody Garlic seemed to have a trouble and maybe not too many friends in the town because another wife, Goody Davis, also accused Goody Garlic of being a witch. A lot of people did testify against her when it came to trial. Now, if you're wondering what that means, Goody is basically a nickname for a good wife. So it's kind of like Mrs. for a married person and not really of high rank. So middle class to lower. Basically, they'd call you Goody and then your last name. And Garlic, she and her husband were farmers. So I'm sure you can guess where that name came from. Now, this whole witch trial business started in February 1657 with 16-year-old Elizabeth Gardner Howell. So that's how old she was at the time. One night, she lay in bed with a fever. She had just finished breastfeeding her infant daughter, so she had just had a baby. When she exclaimed, "A witch! A witch! Now you are come to torture me, because I spoke two or three words against you." Elizabeth swore she saw, quote-unquote, a black thing at the bed's feet. So, she's in bed, with a fever, not feeling great, breastfeeding, she just had a baby, and she is claiming that she sees somebody in her room, and that it's a witch, and, that Sunday, Elizabeth Gardner passed away, unfortunately. So she was so sick, and she didn't make it very long, and she, you know, passed away from the illness. And her passing away began the chain of events that led to the first witchcraft trial in the American colonies, or one of the first witchcraft trials. So, hey, claim to fame there, I guess, if that's a good thing. Now, that was 3 decades before the Salem witch trials. So, very early witch trial there. Our accused is Goody Garlic. Her name was also Elizabeth, but I will refer to her as Goody Garlic, so there's no confusion. Traits of this woman, she was in her 50s, so that's a check in the box of witch, because she's an older woman. She's a farmer's wife, so they don't really have a lot of money, maybe. But at the same time, you know, they could be very successful. So it could come from jealousy, or it could come from, you know, lack of standing. But the Gardner family is definitely wealthier than the Garlics. So easy enough to kind of, you know, tarnish somebody's reputation that doesn't have as much money as you and is a bit of a lower class. Goody Garlic's husband was Joshua Garlic. They actually worked for the Gardners, so for Elizabeth's family. And that's kind of how they knew each other. I mean, back in the day, there were very small communities, so really everyone knew each other. And you had to, you know, stay in a tight network of people in order to survive and live well. Now, there was another wife named Goody Simons who backed Elizabeth Howell's claims. She testified against Goody Garlic as well. The justices John Mulford, John Hand, and Thomas Baker held 3 weeks of hearings where depositions were taken from 13 witnesses. So, a little bit of the overview of what's going on with the trial. Now, you can find quotes from the original depositions in the East Hampton Archives. The East Hampton Archives something out, out by us. Now, I'm not really sure if anyone outside of Long Island might have access to them. They might be online. You can definitely check. I didn't look. But if anything, if you can't, I would love to go there and find that out. And maybe they would let me record something about it for you guys. You know, I love history. And I think that would be really interesting to see and feel the original papers. You know, what a special thing to kind of be a part of and really grasp that history and the lives of these people. Now, Elizabeth Gardner Howell is quoted when describing her bewitchment as saying, "Goody Garlic is in the far there corner and a black thing at the hither corner, both at the feet of the bed." So a little bit more on that description of what she said was going on with Goody Garlic. She saw her in her room and swore there was a black thing with her in the corner, and that's what her bewitchment, that's when it happened. And Goodwife Simons testified on behalf of Elizabeth, saying that Joshua Garlic, the husband, had harsh words with Elizabeth not too long before that at his farm. And Goody Simons also said that Elizabeth, on the second night of her sickness, had asked Simons to fetch Goody Garlic. Elizabeth told Simons that, "I could tear her to pieces. She, Goody Garlic, is a double-tongued woman. Did you not see her last night stand by the bedside, ready to pull me to pieces? And she pricked me with pins." A pricking with pins, that's a popular accusation in witchcraft. Now, interesting, because it doesn't go on to explain whether Goody Simons did also claim to see her. She just kind of backed Elizabeth's word up and was like, yeah, she said she saw her, and, you know, so this woman was in her house and bewitching her. But it's interesting to me because, you know, when she's quoting her, I wonder if she really did see, or at least said she saw, Goody Garlic in the room too, or was just like, yeah, sure. Because the way that Elizabeth is saying it, it's, she's like asking Goody Simons, like, did you see her? Did you see her? She was here. Now, Simons must have been visiting, or, you know, was that just delirium setting in for Elizabeth? I mean, maybe it was her fever. She asked her if she saw her. Now, but there's no real concrete evidence to say that Simons was there. It's kind of all circumstantial, just based on the fact that, you know, Elizabeth had asked her this, and she's testifying, saying that Elizabeth said this to her. But she doesn't mention being in the house, or at least from the information I have, she doesn't really mention being in the house so far, anyway, at this point. So we'll kind of get more into it and look more into the testimony and see if other people can claim that, see where people were. But so far in the story, Simons is just kind of repeating a quote that she said. Now, there are other people that testified against Goody Garlic, such as when Goody Edwards told the story of Goody Garlic asking Edwards' daughter for breast milk after recently giving birth, and the child then became sick afterwards. And Goody Davis told a similar story where her grandbaby actually had died. Now, that's really unfortunate. And, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure that was sort of a common occurrence back in the day. You know, it was hard. It was a rough life. It wasn't easy back, you know, in the late 1600s, early 1700s. And to be all alone in kind of like this new colonial situation where, you know, it's you and the people in your town. That's all you have. You don't really have any other connections. I mean, there's no like hospitals that are easy to get to. And, you know, it's you're doing this at home, and there's midwives helping you. And, you know, with the breast milk story, it seems as though Goody Garlic could have been a midwife, or at least assisting in that, because as an older woman, I'm sure she had a lot of experience with childbirth, with herself and other people. So that I've noticed too is something else that is common with witchcraft stories. They do attack midwives a lot. Now, whether that's because they were learned women, and besides the fact that they're women, just someone that's educated and knows a lot about the human body, and people used to let fear just run their lives. So people that were educated and weren't afraid, you know, it was unusual to people. It was magic. It was witchcraft, right? Because hey, this person knows all these things and I don't, so how could they possibly know that? You know, and they would just say it's magic or something like that. So in this case, with the baby becoming sick and then the other grandchild dying, you know, with Goody Garlic taking the breast milk, I mean, it could be to, if she was really, I don't know, maybe she was testing it for something. I mean, maybe there was some kind of old wives trick to test how good of a quality your breast milk was. Or maybe she was taking it to help feed another baby because, you know, some, not all the time people were able to produce breast milk and they might need like a wet nurse or something. So maybe she was taking it to help feed another child and it was just coincidental that this child became sick. And in the other family with the Davis family, that child also died. To say that it's Goody Garlic's fault, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because, again, that would be if she has anything to do with it, then it would be something nefarious on her part. But otherwise, it's just circumstance and poor timing and situation. So that I have a question for you guys. I'll put it up to you. What do you think? When I'm sure if you study witchcraft and witch trials or the history of witchcraft that you've seen these things come up before. So what's your thoughts on this, you know, on the midwife thing, on being an educated woman of science, on, you know, having similar stories like this? Let us know. Let me know. You can definitely let me know through social media and the Spellcast podcast group. I'd like to hear it and, you know, see what you guys think. Now, there is some more from the testimony, but we are going to take a little bit of a break and then we'll come back with some more info.
Hello, all you curious creatures out there. I'm Amber Ray.
And I'm Andrew McKay, and we are the hosts of Into the Portal.
If you like myths, legends, history with a paranormal twist, join us every week as we explore lesser-known mysteries of our world and beyond.
You can find us on iTunes, Google Play Music, and all other major podcast platforms, and at intotheportal.com, your gateway to the bizarre.
The only question is, do you dare peer into the portal?
Okay, guys, so I'm back. And now we're going to be talking more about the testimony. Now, Thomas Talmadge said that he had once been to the house of Goody Davis. So that woman that also told the story about her grandchild dying because of Goody Garlic, you know, backing up Elizabeth's claims. So he said, speaking unto me about some accidents that had fallen out among them at the island, as concerning the death of her child, in what manner it was taken away, and of an ox that his leg broke, and having reference in her speech concerning Goody Garlic as if she were a witch. So now they're blaming this woman for a lot of mishaps in town. Typical kind of, you know, accusations. And a man named Richard Stratton said that years earlier he had heard Goody Davis say that her own child died strangely on the island. She thought it was bewitched, and she said she did not know of anyone on the island that could do it unless it were Goody Garlic. So now she's bringing up old stories. She's saying that her child was bewitched, and here's more proof that it's this woman. Interesting that it's brought up now. In my research, it did not come up whether this woman, you know, had mentioned something back when that incident had occurred, or if she's just saying it now that a witch trial is actually happening and just kind of trying to get this woman in trouble, so to speak. Goody Birdsall had heard Davis say that she had dressed her child in clean linen. Goody Garlic came in and said how pretty the child looked. And as soon as she had spoken, Goody Garlic said that the child is not well, for it groaneth. And Goody Davis said her heart did rise, and said when she took the child from Goody Garlic, she saw death in the face of it. And her child sickened presently upon it and lay 5 days and 5 nights and never opened the eyes nor cried till it died. So, now, this case is interesting. The way that they explain it, I'm not quite sure how old the child was. It sounds like maybe the child was in a coma or something, laying still for 5 days and five nights without opening their eyes or crying. And weird that Goody Davis would blame Goody Garlic for her child dying when it seems as though Goody Garlic is just making an observation. You know, I mean, she's looking at this child and, again, with experience can say, hey, I don't think your child is well. But grieving mothers do all sorts of things. So I don't know. There's not, you know, you can't really fully blame people because I get it. I mean, I don't personally get it. I mean, I'm not a mother, but I could empathize with the fact that as a mom, if you lose your child, you will look for any and all explanation. And it's really traumatizing. So, you know, on that plus side column, you know, even to give that to the people that are still accusing somebody, you know, I mean, people aren't really all evil on either side. They're just hurt. People are hurt and people have fear. And that's really where a lot of these accusations are based in. So to give some empathy to Goody Davis, you know, she's been through a lot in her life. And maybe this woman really does happen to be around when these things happen. And so it's the only common thread she can think of while she's distraught. So now there's also some part in the testimony, you know, that there's other accusations, things coming out. And it seems as though Goody Davis starts to become the primary accuser for Goody Garlic. So yeah, it started with Elizabeth, but now this woman is really like going with it and being like, yep, here's all these stories and here's why she's a witch. Davis accused Garlic of having caused a catalog of unexplained things on Long Island. So a child that was taken away in a strange manner, apparently Goody Garlic's fault, a man that was dead, not much explanation past that, a fat and lusty sow and her piglets that died during the birth, and an ox with a broken leg. So all things that seem pretty natural and pretty commonplace, I would say, at the time. But, you know, Goody Garlic, I guess, for whatever reason, did not have this woman's favor and was getting blamed for all of the mishaps in town. Now, at the end of the hearing and trial, a lot of the focus shifted to Goody Davis. So Jeremiah Vale, who lived next door to the Garlics, but who had once worked for the Gardner family on their island, said that Gardner was once again asked if he thought that Davis's child had been bewitched. And Gardner, who didn't testify, but I mean his word counted for a lot because he was the richest man in town, he replied testily that Goody Davis had taken an Indian child to nurse, and for a looker of a little wampum, had merely starved her own child. So now, this man with a lot of, you know, a lot of say in this town, is saying that Goody Davis had probably had a hand in starving her own child because she was nursing another child instead for some money. So that's what it sounds like to me. If you guys have a different interpretation, let me know. But that sounds to me like this woman decided to breastfeed a Native American child, to be more politically correct. I was simply quoting. But she took care of this child over her own. She didn't, you know, she didn't decide to split up, you know, the nourishment between them and kind of just let her own child go to the wayside because she was making money from feeding the other child. Now, that's a pretty big claim for, you know, the most important man in town to make. So that probably really didn't help her case or her credibility at that point at all. And it's interesting. So who knows? Maybe, I don't know if these things were going on at the same time. Maybe Goody Garlic was taking breast milk from other people to help Goody Davis's child. And maybe her claims of, hey, your child doesn't look so good, is because she's trying to be like, are you feeding your child? Like, you know, I mean, I come here and I see your child isn't doing well. And maybe she's checking up on people. And, you know, so who knows? There's a lot of blame being cast around. And that's the thing, is there's a lot of hearsay. And it's really hard to actually get concrete evidence in these kind of trials. Now, with the town, you know, kind of being new and a new establishment, it seems like Goody Garlic was, you know, one of those cases where the East Hamptonites were trying to establish a pecking order in a new town and Goody Garlic was falling on the bottom. Not really fair, to say the least. Now, there is a man, Timothy Breen, who wrote Imagining the Past, a historian that wrote a book back in 1996 about East Hampton history. And he's quoted as saying, "The investigation into witchcraft had uncovered no witch. Rather, it had exposed once again a pattern of slander and defamation. Discontented people in East Hampton, who had come to this isolated extension of New England culture, looking for a fresh start and some possible bettering of their lives, had in their ambition turned on each other. As the witnesses poignantly revealed, no one in East Hampton seems to have experienced more disappointment than did Mrs. Folk Davis." So, yeah, no one else besides Elizabeth and you know, Goody Davis really had any issues with this woman. In fact, I know that her husband very much defended her. Goody Garlic's husband, Joshua, very much defended her and became very upset over the whole ordeal of his wife being accused of witchcraft. So that is nice. That is good to see. He had her back, you know. He was there to defend her and be like, hey, like, my wife's not a witch. You need to stop. But yeah, it seems as though Goody Davis maybe was just being a kitchen bitch, for lack of a better term. You know, and colloquially just kind of being like, yeah, she's gossip, you know, she's just spreading gossip, spreading rumors, trying to get herself, on the top of the rung here in the town and deciding that Goody Garlic is just, you know, going to be on the bottom of that pecking order. Now in regards to the trial and testimonies and everything else, those three judges, that we had talked about before, Justice John Mulford, John Hand, and Thomas Baker, they were unable to really make a decision, and they sent the case to Hartford, Connecticut for a trial on the charges of witchcraft. But for Joshua Garlic, the testimony was convincing enough, and on behalf of his wife, he immediately entered an action of defamation against Goody Davis. So, like I said, Joshua was like, hey, that's it. You're slandering my wife's name. Like, you need to stop. Because there's no evidence, actually, that the defamation suit was ever tried. So he did put in for a defamation lawsuit, but, there's no information if it went to trial or not. But, hey, I mean, good for him, defending his wife and putting in, you know, a defamation suit. That's good. It's good that she had some friends and some people to help her, because honestly, if she didn't have any backing or she didn't have any friends or a supportive husband, who knows what could have happened to this woman? I mean, it could have gone through and she could have been executed. The trial in Hartford was held on May 5th in the particular court of Connecticut with a panel of magistrates headed by the governor, John Winthrop. Kind of an anticlimactic trial. There had been testimony, but the official record doesn't really mention any. And although the East Hampton depositions were available, so I guess there wasn't enough information. The indictment shows how strongly the idea of a woman possessed by the devil, a witch, was embedded in the Puritan belief system. This is a quote from the Newsday article that covers this whole witch trial. "Now are indicated by the name of Elizabeth Garlic, the wife of Joshua Garlic of East Hampton, that not having the fear of God before thine eyes, thou hast entertained familiarity with Satan, the great enemy of God and mankind, and by his help, since the year 1650, hath done works above the course of nature to the loss of lives of several persons, with several other sorceries, and in particular the wife of Arthur Howell of East Hampton, for which both according to the laws of God and the established laws of commonwealth, doubts deserves to die." But on a positive note, the jury found Elizabeth Garlic not guilty, and she and her husband went home to East Hampton. But that whole quote kind of saying, like, hey, here's the seriousness of this issue. And these courts are so intertwined with the Puritan religion. You know, I mean, that's the whole thing, is they can be tried for witchcraft because it's basically like a failure of their religion. It's not even able to be separated like legally. You know, it's different than like saying, oh, she's a witch because she stole and she did that and whatever. And that's important to them, like what's happening and what they're being accused of. But it's really just going against God. That's really what they're being tried on. Now, it's great that Elizabeth Garlick was... And in even Morgan news, Elizabeth Garlick and Joshua Garlick lived peacefully and well into their 90s. So congratulations to them. They did they had a wonderfully long life, especially for back in the day. And things didn't end so well for Goody Davis. It appears she died soon after the Hartford trial. So all that hatred got her nowhere. Now, there's a few other small stories in regards to other trials and stuff on the island. So Setauket is another local town, about a half hour away from me west. And this little story, still in the Newsday article that you can definitely find on Newsday.com, not long after Christmas in 1664, George Wood, who was a landowner in Setauket and an innkeeper, got sick and died. And a little while after that, his infant son actually died too. And these two deaths were resulted in the only other witchcraft trial of Long Islanders. So two witchcraft trials on Long Island, this being the second one. Ralph and Mary Hall were indicted on charges of witchcraft and sorcery in connection with the death of George Wood and his son. Ralph and Mary were tried in the Court of Assizes in New York in October 1665. Now, this, it says, is the only witchcraft trial that was ever held in the state of New York. So technically, they did have depositions and everything, but I'm assuming the official trial did happen in Hartford, and that's what's on record. So in this one of the Setauket couple actually is the, document, the first documented witchcraft trial, or the only one ever held in the state of New York. So the Halls pleaded not guilty and no public testimony was taken. Now the jury did question, had questions about Mary, but really didn't question or have questions about her husband at all. And the jury said that we find that there are some suspicions by the evidence of what the woman is charged with, but nothing considerable of value to take away her life. And they also said, in reference to the man, we find nothing considerable to charge him with. So, who knows, maybe this woman did some midwifery herself or some herbal remedies, but nothing that really hurt people enough to be condemned to death, which is great. I mean, hey, the two trials, the first one and the only one in New York, and then the one technically it happened in Connecticut, but because it's about Long Islanders, we're going to say that it's here. The two instances of witchcraft accusations on Long Island ended really well for the people involved. I mean, not really well, because, I mean, you're still have to go through all the headache of being accused of witchcraft. But I'm going to say really well means they didn't die. And that's very rare that after being accused of witchcraft that you would live. So they got lucky, very lucky. And the couple, Ralph and Mary Hall, returned to Setauket after the trial. And 3 weeks later, they sold their property and moved north of New York City to what is now City Island. So they were like, you know what? We are done with these people. We're not going to take chances anymore. And that's the end of it, which, good for them. They didn't want to be in a town that didn't accept or, support them. So I don't blame them at all. But that wraps up the episode for a witchcraft and trials on Long Island. Now, of course, I'm sure there's other stories we can include of modern witchcraft. We do know a lot of the community here on Long Island. If you want to hear any other interviews, we do know a few local witches that would probably, hopefully, love to be on the show. And then if you guys want to hear that, let us know. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode, learning more about Long Island history, about witchcraft history, and, you know, hopefully it makes you feel a little bit closer to us and learning more about where we live. I found this really interesting, and I'm really happy that I'm learning more and more about Long Island history, because while I was a history major in college and I have a degree in history, I didn't really focus on Long Island history, which is weird because I live here. So as somebody out of college, I'm now pursuing it more and more and finding that we have a really rich history here, and it's wonderful. And, yeah, so if you guys are following us on social media, thank you so much. If you would like to follow us on social media and this is your first time to the show, or you just haven't gotten around to following us yet, that's okay. Or if social media is not your thing, also okay too. You can always contact us, witchypage@gmail.com or andreelle@gmail.com, should you have specific questions for him. And if you want to follow us, you can go to our Linktree, which is linktree.com/spellcastpodcast. And we have all of our links there. You can also find links and things through our Facebook, which Witchy Page is connected to the Instagram account, but we also have a Spellcast Podcast Facebook page and group. The group is private, just answer the questions, but, you know, you can get right in. It's really just making sure that people that want to join will be polite and, you know, be respectful. That's really it. So I'm sure you're all passed with flying colors and, you know, be welcomed into the group. And we are also on Twitter @SpellcastPod. Instagram is Witchy Page, and we are on Patreon. So you can definitely find Spellcast Podcast on Patreon. We have a new store open through Spreadshirt. That link is also in the link tree. And if you want to know any more information about anything, feel free to reach out to us. And thank you again to everyone that donates on Patreon, that shares, that talks about us, that came to SpellCon and supported us. And thank you everyone for rating and reviewing. Congratulations to our friend Michaela for winning our surprise Halloween giveaway. She won a little goodie pack of a cool 3D printed pumpkin that I painted, and also some great merch from the Strange Pods and from us. So thanks, Michaela, for entering that. Thank you for everyone that entered. All you had to do is rate and review us and then take a screenshot and send it in. But if you would still like to rate and review, please feel free to. You can do so on iTunes or most other platforms that you listen on. Also, if you want to just give us a little shout out or share on social media, also appreciated. And Patreon is appreciated as well. And Anchor does have Anchor listener support, so you can support us that way and you will still get all of your Patreon perks. But I do find that Patreon is a nice platform to kind of keep it all encompassed, and then you guys can see the videos and other content we put up just on Patreon. So while you do get, you know, extra group, extra admission into the Spellcast Coven group and the Snapchat and everything else, it just seems a little bit easier to join straight on Patreon. But yeah, so thank you everybody. Congratulations, Michaela. You're going to get your fun stickers and pins and everything else shortly. And everyone be on the lookout for more giveaways. And, you know, as October is now over and we are headed into the end of fall and then Yule soon, we will have more really fun stuff coming up. And if you have any suggestions or any listener stories that you want to share, please send them to witchypage@gmail.com. We would love to have another listener episode of all of your spooky tales and witchy tales. So thank you guys. And remember, there's a little witch in all of us.